Hello, friends. I'm Jeremiah, and this is Christian Anarchy, the show where we commit the big no-no, combining religion and politics. It's the ultimate podcast for not talking about at bars or family functions.
We begin with concluding remarks. Break up the pieces and examine the parts. Your words always cut when they're cliche. But here's my knife because I came for the buffet. This is the way it goes.
Hey, welcome to the part of the show where there is not a song playing. I hope you are doing well. Last week I talked about why there aren't that many anarchists, but one thing I never mentioned that I intended to mention, I just forgot about it, is that this is not a flatlining trend. The arrow is moving upward. It is true that there aren't that many anarchists at present, but there are many people who are becoming anarchists. Some think that the trend is exponential. I know many people who have become anarchists within the last 3 years alone. I've only asked probably about 30 or so anarchists how long they have been rejecting the state. And well over half have only been anarchists for a few months to a few years. Many who have been anarchists for a while have said they've noticed a larger number of people transitioning than usual. There is a tremendous expansion in the number of people who have chosen to reject the violence of the state and only support voluntary relationships between human beings rather than coercive ones. So for those who are down with statelessness and who want the state to go down, there's growing reason to believe we can get rid of it. If not in this generation, then perhaps for our children and for their generation. And for those who are still afraid of anarchists or anarchy, you better watch yourselves. Once our numbers get up high enough, we are going to non-aggress against you so hard you won't know what to do. Your rights, your body, your property, and your relationships will be so respected and honored, you'll be freaking out in a complete panic. One thing I thought might be interesting to talk about is a hot-button political topic, which causes a lot of right-left divide. Anarchists often have a different take than the normal two sides of the argument. Plus, it's kind of easy for me to talk about these things, and I keep promising you I'm going to think less for a little bit, and I intend to follow through on such bold and ambitious promises. So what does an anarchist think about immigration? Before I talk about my own view, I'll briefly outline the two different positions as I understand them. As someone who doesn't hold either position, I of course won't do them justice, but I'll treat them as fairly as I can and then share my not very well thought out criticisms of them. The democratic policy is generally to allow in most people who are trying to get into the U.S. and to give them full U.S. citizenship, especially Hispanics. They have a lot of reasons for doing so. People should be able to move to make a better life for themselves. America should be a welcoming country. If they're living in the country among the people in the country, then they should have all the rights and benefits of the people living in the country. They should also be made full citizens so they can pay their taxes, and that way they won't be a drain on the system, but will be paying into it. Those are some of the pretty decent reasons Democrats give to support their policy. I expect the motivations of the party itself are not all that humanitarian, even though many supporters of this policy may only be supporting it for humanitarian reasons. The thing about most immigrants is that they vote for progressive candidates a much higher percentage of the time than they will vote for a conservative candidate. I'm not sure what the party line would be like if the vast majority of illegal immigrants were likely to vote for Republicans if granted full citizenship. Maybe they would still be for granting citizenship, maybe not. It's kind of hard for me to discern any consistent ethical principles guiding the political positions of either party. Republicans generally want to minimize immigration and do whatever it takes to prevent illegal immigration. They want to build a giant wall and patrol it to keep people from crossing it. In the Republican primary race right now, Trump keeps bringing this up, and people seem to really like the idea of keeping people from other nations out of this one. They want to send people back to whatever country they came from, if they are not in the U.S. legally. They want the government to carefully decide who is allowed to become a citizen and who is not. So there is not a massive influx of people into the U.S., and so the people who do become citizens are productive members of society. They have many reasons for opposing illegal immigration and for wanting to minimize legal immigration. Republicans often say things like, they're stealing our jobs. I know that that actually sounds like a caricatured argument, but it's really not. I've heard those exact words out of multiple Republicans' mouths. Their fear is that illegal immigrants are coming into the country and doing jobs Americans could be doing. This is probably true. They probably do accept jobs American citizens would have otherwise accepted. And most of them are not going to be job creators, at least not at first, as they typically lack the resources and connections necessary as people newly moved into an area to start a business. Although we should clarify, quote-unquote stealing jobs is not really a fair characterization. They merely outcompeted someone else for the job. The same way it is with every job opening when there are two or more applicants. One person gets the job, the others don't. We wouldn't say the one person stole the job from the others. They were simply deemed the best candidate for the position. This is how it should be characterized when an illegal immigrant gets a job in the U.S., not as some sort of act of theft. The biggest hindrance to Americans getting jobs is the government hyper-regulation and tax rates. There are a lot of other factors and complexities in this area, but these two things alone give large corporations tremendous advantages in most areas of the economy, and they stifle economic growth. They make starting new businesses to be incredibly difficult, putting many people in the workplace who would otherwise be working for themselves. The increased difficulty of successfully running a business increases competition for available jobs by decreasing the number of jobs available and increasing the number of people seeking those jobs. Were it easier to start, run, and profit with a small business in the U.S., then a higher percentage of Americans would actually benefit from immigrants coming from other countries because they would be able to hire them. Then both the immigrants and the people who are already in the area would be better off because of the immigration. Another argument Republicans use to oppose immigration is that illegal immigrants use the welfare system and the government services intended for citizens. Because of this, U.S. citizens are forced to pay more money out of their pockets for people who come into their area, and the services they are paying for are less accessible to them because they are being used by the immigrants and not by the native-born people. My best understanding of the data is that Republicans are right about this. I'll post some resources in the notes for this episode. Immigrants are far more likely than U.S.-born citizens to use some form of government welfare. So if people allow illegal immigrants to become citizens, then they will increase the burden on the taxpayer for the provision of these services. They will increase the cost on Americans for the provision of the welfare system. Not only this, but they greatly increase the cost on taxpayers because of their use of things like roads, public schools, police forces, and other services commonly provided by the government. The conservatives are correct. Putting this undue increase in cost on other people without their consent would be completely unfair. For the anarchist, both sides have legitimate points. Let's apply some of the same principles we've discussed in earlier episodes to figure out what an anarchist might think and say about the issue of immigration. Once you've tried to see things from the worldview of someone who rejects the state a few times, I think the process becomes quite easy. Because we respected the basic human rights of everyone to do what they would like, as long as they are not aggressing against others, we think the rights to own the product of one's labor and to choose what one would like to do with their own property are important. This means coercively funded welfare programs are illegitimate and a violation of human dignity. And with that, amongst the Republicans there was much rejoicing, and the Democrats listen with mild disdain. Yet the problem with the welfare system is not what some conservatives would have you to believe. It's not that a lot of immigrants are on it. The problem is the system itself. If I come to your house with a gun and threaten you with violence to take money from you, and then I give the money I take from you to your neighbor who just moved in last week, that is a serious problem. If I do the same thing and give it to your neighbor who has been living in the house since the day they were born, that is also a serious problem. The problem isn't who gets the resources or how long whoever gets the resources has been living in the country. That's irrelevant. The problem is me. The problem is the dude with the gun threatening people with violence if they don't submit to his will. Talking about the complications immigration creates with the system is ignoring the real substantive ethical issue. The system of coercive redistribution of other people's stuff is itself evil. As far as keeping people from getting in and out of the U.S. goes, well, I think that's an ethical problem as well. And now it is the Republicans' turn to be a little bit upset with me. All governments rely on armed robbery to fund themselves to do anything. So, I don't think governments have a rightful claim to the land they violently rule, any more than a thief has a right to the property she stole. So I don't think government borders are legitimate, and they certainly have no right to restrict people's freedom of movement to prevent them from getting to other people and other people's property. To an anarchist, rights of property and rights to voluntarily associate with other human beings are important. One property right we discussed earlier is a right of access. Not earlier today, but in an earlier episode of this podcast. People have a right to not have their ability to access their property interfered with. Otherwise, they don't really have functional ownership of their property. One thing that goes along with this is the right to have other people have access to one's property. As an owner of a piece of land, I alone have the right to determine who is allowed to be on it and who isn't. No person or a group of people has any right to build a wall around my property and say who can and who can't access my land, and then using force to prevent them from getting to my property. Pretty much everyone would agree with this. Imagine one individual did this to another. They built a wall around their property and then would only let people through that they wanted to let through. Would anyone find this acceptable? The only person who would is the individual who built the wall. People would not allow such a behavior to continue. No one has the right to interfere with another's use of their property when they haven't done anything to harm or threaten anyone else. But call the person or the group building the wall a government, and voila, they can determine who can and cannot access someone's land. And 70% of the population thinks such behavior is legitimate. Anyone who happens to be on the other side of that wall, I cannot interact with as I so choose. I can't have them on my property. I can't hire them or have them over for dinner or learn their language from them at my house or rent a different house to them. I can't even meet them at a bar to watch Monday Night Football. I can't interact with them at all in person unless the builders of the wall give me permission or us permission. They are aggressively interfering with both my right to voluntarily associate with another human being and my rights of property access. In circles where we promote a free society, we have a very special word we made up to describe immigration. We call it moving. Maybe we didn't make it up. But this is what you say when someone moves their residence from one location to another. It's such an arbitrary and senseless world that has been created. If I buy a house in Hawaii and move thousands of miles away across a huge ocean, no problem, I moved. If I buy a house in Toronto and move hundreds of miles away across some plains and a couple of rivers, then I'm an illegal immigrant who has no right to be there. Even though it's my land that I rightfully acquired from someone else who owned it previously. All I did was engage in a voluntary relationship with another human being, respecting everyone's property rights involved, and suddenly I'm a lawbreaker. Some sort of criminal. People have the right to move places, and people have the right to have other people access their land and to choose to allow them to, and no one has the right to restrict such access, even a government. The problems immigration and illegal immigration create are not caused by the people moving from one place to another, but by the combination of people moving and government policies. When these two things are added together, it does create real issues. So to solve these issues created by this combination, one has to get rid of one of the two things. I would suggest getting rid of policies of the violent organization rather than preventing individuals who aren't harming anyone from switching locations. As someone who believes in treating every human being with dignity and respect, and not treating some human beings with more dignity and respect than others, just because they happen to be born under the same rulers as I obviously cannot support restricting their right to associate with people on the other side of imaginary government lines. That is generally how an anarchist would think about these ideas of legal and illegal immigration. We do our best not to blame people who aren't violating the rights of other people, and instead figure out who is doing the coercion, and try to focus on that as the primary problem. And moving from one location to another hardly initiates force. And it's really tough to jump through the intellectual hoops it would take to try to show how moving from one location to another location is a coercive act, because it isn't. That seems adequate for today. Thank you for joining me. I appreciate your time and your energy and your brain and your ears and all the things that you're offering to me by listening. That's what I appreciate. If you want to contact me for any sort of questions or rebuttals or suggestions, or you need a pen pal or anything like that, you can email me at jeremiahjm@gmail.com. If you want to listen to past episodes or look at resources or look at sources I've cited for the different podcasts, you can go to www.christianarchy.net. And also, as I'm about to sign off, I was just thinking how funny it would be if someone who is making the "if you don't like it, you can leave" argument was also opposed to illegal immigration. Because that means if you don't like it, you can leave, but you're probably not allowed anywhere else. So, therefore, you actually can't leave, because governments won't let you leave, and they won't let you into their country. So, if you happen to be in a situation where someone's arguing for both those things, be sure to bring that up. Have a great week. I'll be back next week to talk about something, and the week after that to talk about something else, and the week after that to talk about a different thing. And that's how detailed I usually get with my outlines for the next few weeks of this podcast. Grace, peace. Wisdom, light my way into the